Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down
everybody, and welcome to some discussions here on Blog Talk Radio. This is Sweet Pea, and I will be your host this evening. I am with All Poetry, one of the largest groups on the web, poets that is, wrapped up into All Poetry as a group called Team of Voices, which I am happily a part of, a group of people that love to write poetry, talk about poetry, and just get together and Google about poetry. At least I do a lot of that. So if you ever want to log on to allpoetry.com, come inside and look for Team of Voices. Right now, tonight's topic is going to be about miracles, mystic mysteries, miracles, mayhap, and perhaps. So tonight, we're going to have a lot of fun just talking about the world around us. And in my studio already, I have the wonderful Jay Hatter. Say hello, Jay Hatter.
Hello, Jay Hatter. Yeah, it's a miracle that we're even here.
Yes, that is. And then right behind him, I have the most important hostess with the mostest. She always keeps me in line, keeps me together, and makes sure things run on time. And that's the amazing Pretty Bird. Hello, Pretty Bird.
Hello.
And coming up from down under, the wonderful, and, you know, the man that rules the earth and the world, the AP. Hello, Mr. AP. How are you?
Hello, sweet. I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well myself. Ah, I love this topic. It's kind of part two from the other one. Very exciting for me. If you hear coughing and typing in the background, I actually have a guest in the office tonight, so I apologize for that. But, you know, sometimes people have to work together. So I just, every once in a while, we have stories in our family. Like, I have stories in my family about miracles or mystics or mysteries or things like that. So we all have a few of them. So I have this really weird one in my family. A couple that have happened in my family, such as, like, my grandmother was driving down a mountain, or actually driving up a mountain, and my grandfather appeared next to her. Now, my grandfather had been dead for several years, but according to her, he appeared 100% himself, put his hand on her knee, and said her name, Evelyn. That's all he said. Looked her straight in the eye and said, Evelyn. It upset her so much that she pulled over the side of the road on the mountain and just sat in her car, literally crying. Moments later, a runaway semi came barreling down the mountain, ended up crashing, whatever. But if she had been on the highway in that same path, it literally would have killed her. So we're talking miracles or perhaps something else. The other weird story I have is about my mother. And my mother was lying in bed asleep, and my grandfather, her father, came, stood at the bottom of her bed, and said, Lindsay Jo, just know that I've always loved you. I came to say goodbye. And as soon as he says the words goodbye, he disappears, the phone rings, and it's her mother telling her father has passed away. Now, if I had heard this from third party or other people or everything like that, I might not, you know, actually believe them, but this is my grandmother who I trust wholeheartedly. And yeah, my mother was a bit of a drinker, but I still believe her story. FYI, my mother was not a bit of a drinker. She was a very strict Baptist woman. But I believe these two women. So I'm sure that these things have happened, but are they miracles in your eyes? Are they just oddities? Are they from the mystic? Are they mysteries? Or are they just perhaps something else? So, AP, do you have weird stories like that in your world?
Do, sweet. And I have duly written a poem about one, if I could put it up on the board.
You can, because I know you're probably in a big hurry to go rule the rest of the world.
All of that. And this, of course, is a true story. I don't have any other stories about true stories. But this is a true story, and it is kind of strange because it's about an IT department. Let's face it, all IT departments are strange. And I inherited
an IT
one.
Department, love it.
Yeah. I inherited one because, you know, I was going to look after all these things, one of which in this new job was going to be IT. Anyway, you'll get the idea. This is appropriately called Another Day in IT, and it goes a bit like this. So, the technology area was a mess, and I was yet to come on board. Still, I fire at the IT manager in distress, as in corridors with a samurai sword. Now, I understand technology people are different, but best not one in a robe with a weapon, while in days an answer lay beneath the door of my current workplace kitchen. I was not a common beverage visitor, with a face doubled up for courier. While fixing a tea nearly raw, a familiar voice heard stirs. What you doing here, mate? Said the paper delivery driver to me. It was John, an IT guy I knew and did rate. I'm at work, but weren't you in IT? Yes, still am, but looking again for a gig. Moved back for family from Sydney. My friend, no paper drivers and gas big, so I've been driving between interviews to see. What role are you after? I politely asked. IT management, only recently departed. And he filled my role and straightened the tasks. some weeks before I eventually started. End prompt.
Alrighty then. All right. So you had an IT manager in distress, as in corridors with samurai swords.
Yeah, I just
so your
him.
IT. Yeah,
he had a robe. He had a sharp samurai sword. He was threatening people. I just missed him, and I hadn't even started. Yes, I had a gap for an IT manager.
Oh, lovely! I would love to have met the IT manager with the samurai sword. Oh,
yep.
Wow!
I was asking for reference for him years later, and I refused to. I didn't know what to say. The sword wasn't sharp enough or something.
No.
Yeah.
No. We don't give references for people like that at all.
No. No.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's like we could have stories. Maybe we should sit and have tea.
We should.
This is wonderful. this is wonderful. I never thought to do a poem about the guy that asked me to sacrifice a live rooster, but that would be wonderful. This is great, and I love the fact that the newspaper driver turned out to be somebody you knew, and you could put it into IT management. This is stunning. I really enjoy this.
He worked for me
so
for 5 years. He worked for me for 5 years as an IT manager. I bumped into him literally. I very rarely went to the kitchen. I was organizing a tea. He opened the door, and he had a bloody great big crate of paper he was delivering on a wheelie thing, and we're like, what the hell are you doing here, and what are you doing delivering paper? And as I said, I started in my job 2 weeks after he did, because I just thought, well, this is a coincidence. It's going to hit the fee, you know, so I just gave him a job.
So fate, miracle, mystery, I mean, how did that all happen? How did it all come together for you right after you missed the guy with the samurai sword?
Well, I'm a strong believer, this way, that sort of fate is meant to be. You know, that if you have something like that happen, you just sort of say, well, shit, that's the universe talking. You just got to go with it.
I kind of agree. That's like, you know, somewhere everything lined up, and that was just the stars saying, okay, this is going to happen now. I really
that's
agree
it.
With that.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Hatter, what do you think of this?
Yeah, okay. Who was the guy again?
The paper delivery driver.
You knew him from school?
Yeah, he and I worked at the same place for about 5 years, a number of years ago. So I'd known him as an IT guy and what he could do. But then he moved on and I moved on, and then we bumped into each other in this kitchen as he was delivering paper. That's the way it worked.
Yeah. That's cool. A whole story. I love stories like this, piecing it together. IT management.
Oh, gotta tell you. IT management, Hatter. Category of people. I love them dearly, but oh my.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
So I'm loving, well, you know, no, I understand technology people are different, you know, but perhaps that sword is a little over the top. Nothing like being, you know, threatened with beheading and, you know, when are you going to work? Not okay. But I love that. I love that those little moments in time where, you know, you like to think that you're, we have some semblance of control or of our own destiny, and then all these happy so-called coincidences happen, and then it really makes you wonder. I mean, how do those things happen? And it's not really a coincidence. It's exactly what you need when you need it, even if you weren't even yet looking. And so I kind of love how life has a way of organizing things for us, whether we want it to or not. So, I would probably lose my crap if somebody was running around. Hold on a second. I must know. Was he wearing just the robe? Like, was he that
pair of men's undergarments below the robe? But that was all. I understand. I wasn't checking. Pretty good.
So basically that kind of crazy, yes. Okay, well, you know, I just had to know.
Samurai diaper short.
Insanity. samurai sword.
It was a real sharp sword, Sweet. It could have taken off people's heads. It was a proper sword.
That is scary stuff right there. Did you have to call the officials?
I asked him politely to put his weapon down, which he did, and he put it on the desk, and it was at that point I told him he was dismissed. Summarily.
Which it was absolutely perfect because, you know, lo and behold, in walks the paper delivery guy.
Exactly right. And so, awesome. You know, I put it. Go figure. It usually takes 3 months to recruit somebody into an IT management role, and it took me a 3-minute conversation over a black tea.
I love how that happened before you officially started.
That's correct. He started before I did. He started 2 weeks before I did, and I was his then manager. Yes.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I used to purchase knives, swords, daggers on Yahoo Auction back in the day, and all they had to do was list it as parentheses theatrical prop. Every one that was delivered to me was absolutely flipping real. It was props about these things. They were razor sharp.
No, this thing was real.
So
yep.
Yeah.
Japanese.
It's not hard to get.
Yeah, it's proper. Oof.
All right, AP, if you run into any more IT management positions, let me know. I'm looking for one. Not for myself.
Okay. No, I'm just saying it was, you know, true story, all that stuff. But I thought it was appropriate for the program. Sweet. So thank you.
That's awesome. That was a great story. I really liked it. All right. Are you hanging out or are you running out the door?
I'm running out the door. I'm saying goodbye, but I'm running out the door. So thank you.
I know. I figured. Well, my lord, you are the ruler of the universe, so we understand.
Well, some small part of it down all here right. And in isolated countries. Okay, we'll talk soon.
Have a great day.
All right, AP.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, AP.
Thanks
I really appreciate
go
it. Great
soon.
Story.
Have a great
day.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. All right, Hatter, do you have mysterious stories like that in your life?
Yes, yes. When I was about 10 years old, 10, 11 years old, my parents owned some houses, and we would have to go over there to clean them up, paint them, whatever. When I was too young to really help much, but I had to tag along. We pull up to this one house. In this area that all these houses were, they have these, I believe they're silver maple trees. They're beautiful white trunk trees with easy to climb. We pulled up. My mom goes, all right, don't go out in the road. Don't go out the street. Stay in the yard and stay out of the tree. And goes to the house. My dad comes around, says basically the same thing, you know, stay out of the tree. But up in this tree above the driveway, I could hear the chirping of these newly hatched robins, and it wasn't that high, I thought. So I shimmied up that tree. Both my parents had told me not to, and I get out and I'm right to the edge where I can peek in. I can hear them. I had heard them peeping, and I'm up. And as soon as I reach out there, there's a snap, and I fall. And I remember looking back up into the tree. I just had sort of rolled over on my back. I must have been 16 feet up in the air. I mean, I'm going to hit hard. I know I am. I fell onto the lower branch, and it bent down to the ground, rolled me out onto the driveway, and then sprung back up. And I'm standing there looking at it. And, not 2 minutes later, my dad peeks his head out the door and goes, get off the ground. What are you doing laying on the driveway? Get off the driveway. I couldn't tell anybody. I wasn't supposed to be in that tree. But it's like, I knew God existed then. I mean, it just exactly how I described it. It just rolled me, bent down to the ground, and we'll be out of the out of this driveway. Talk about a miracle.
So the tree just coddled you and put you on the ground.
Exactly, just like a big old hand, just like a mitt. It bent down. I'm looking straight up at that nest when I'm falling out of that tree, and all I felt was the branch that bent and sort of rolled me out onto the damn driveway. I just sat there staring at the sky. I couldn't tell anybody. Couldn't tell anybody. For my whole life, I couldn't tell that story. Wasn't supposed to be in that tree.
That's crazy.
Yeah, there's no reason. That was just, you know, the hand of God had to be.
Wow.
Because you got to look at the flexibility of that lower branch, my weight, the speed I'm falling, it all had to work. It all had to be perfect. I could, if I would have fallen wrong, I would have slid right through the branches, you know. But it was just big enough to... Okay.
Wow. All right, Sweetie Bird, your turn. I know you got some craziness.
I have lots of craziness. My whole family is steeped in this craziness. I'm trying to decide which one doesn't make me sound crazy. Well, there's a time that my family comes from this little island off the coast of Puerto Rico called Vieques. And there was this hotel. Well, it was their house 5 generations back, but it got turned into a bed and breakfast, and it was called the Frenchman's Quarters because he came from France, the guy who ended up being a pirate, by the way. I mean, I come from fine stock, let me tell you. And so I walk into this house, and we used to go there and visit in the summers and whatnot because my mother was convinced. There's a whole pirate treasure story, which I won't get into. My mother was convinced that the house had something to say, but it never said anything to her, never said anything to my sister. She drags me over there. I'm like, this house is beautiful. I was like, why are those people waving at us? And she's like, what? And I was like, so Sandy, so from the get-go, there is stuff. But I found it interesting that I walk into this place and I'm like, and I could see everything. I can see where they locked the youngest one beneath the stairs, and with all the stuff that was there, I can see where the son, it was 2 girls and a guy, it was the boy was in the middle of the 2 girls, the children. I could see how he killed his parents, and I could tell you exactly where they're buried. And that was years ago. Oh. So this one time we go back, that's not the crazy part, believe it or not. I won't even tell you how they bruised me, but that's a different story. She was determined to find his grave because I could not remember his name. I couldn't for the life of me hear his name. So a graveyard, which is all kind of above ground because it's basically on a beach. It's really creepy. Anyways, it's cement with all these like cement, you know, tombs on it. And so you go down there, I'm walking and walking and walking, and I found it all worn off, all whatever. I found it, couldn't read anything, but I knew exactly what his name was. And we're thinking we spent half an hour there because it didn't take us long at all. And we go back to the house where my sister's there with her 2 kids. She ended up having 4, but this is how long ago it was. And she's like, you guys have been gone all day. I was like, what? We've been gone maybe an hour at the most. And she looks at me. She's like, it's 7 o'clock in the afternoon. We left at 11 o'clock in the morning. So I was like, oh, okay then. I don't know what happened to all the rest of those hours. To this day, I have no idea.
Oh, wow.
And the second she said it was 7 o'clock, the sun got lower in the sky. Up until then, I could have sworn it was noon.
Wow. Wow.
Both me and my mom lost an entire day in a cemetery.
That happens.
You know, sometimes.
So it was missing time, huh?
Yeah, it was very, very interesting. Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, hold on a second.
Oh.
Sorry about that, guys. I like that story as a saint, just to lose too much time. Because loss of time is a very interesting thing, especially if you think you've only been gone for an hour.
Yeah, I mean,
how do you tell someone I've only been gone for an hour and they're waiting for you for a day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you really feel like you've only been gone an hour.
Yeah. It was nothing. Like, nobody had to go to the bathroom. Nobody got hungry. Nobody. It was literally no time at all.
I know. I'm trying to think how that happened.
I got infused with a whole lot of historical knowledge. Maybe that took some time.
I know, but...
Had to upload.
Yeah, right?
I know, but I'm trying to... You lost a day.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to figure out how that happened.
It's a mystery.
I know, but I'm still, like...
Yeah, I was just like, oh, well, that's not okay, and kind of be like, I guess it's time for dinner. Because, you know, I mean, it wasn't like, okay, see, you have to understand what crazy looks like in my family. We followed a little girl into the woods, and she didn't exist. Like these things happen in my family. There's things that, okay, listen, I'm going to tell you something, and, like, the whole universe is going to hear me, so there's that. I'm not crazy, I swear. Let me just preface this, what I'm going to tell you people, with that. I promise I am not crazy. I see things. I see things. I know things. I can look into a bowl of water and see places that I am not currently in. That aside, since I got COVID a year ago and lovely near-death experiences since then, people live in my closet and come out, and I had to tell them, listen, you can't just keep on checking to see if I'm alive. I promise you'll know if I'm dead because I'll go over there and see you, but you can't keep on waking me up. Just leave me alone. So they kind of stay at the closet door looking at me to make sure I'm okay. And I think they're in my closet because my mother's in my closet.
Wouldn't they be the first to know?
Right. But
That's what I would tell them. Wouldn't you be the first to know?
Well, they know how stubborn I am, and these are my mother's people, and I'm assuming they're my mother's people because they feel like her, and she's in my closet, so, like, literally, her ashes are in my closet. So I've got all of these people, whoever her spirit people are, just walking around my room. I'm like, this ain't going to happen. I was like, I don't sleep as it is. Stop. I was like, you're going to give me a heart attack, then it'll be your fault that I see you, like, in person. Just stop. And so you have to have these conversations with these things because otherwise they don't.
Tell me about an autograph.
Okay, so.
What was that matter?
Tell me about an autograph.
That's on my.
Have a guest book. I would sign in.
Hi, Rack.
Hey.
Hey.
I'm not in the closet.
If you were, we'd let you out anyway. Okay, so the worst event I've ever had with a bad spirit, okay, and I don't know why he was creeping me out or why he was bugging me, because I'm like you, pretty predictions in the South, I have all kinds of weird things that happen to me. And half the time, my family thinks I'm nuts, didn't happen, craziness, okay. But I had someone that was just annoying me, and he was really pissed off, and he was really mad at the world, and I have no idea why he was mad at the world. I kept telling him to go away, you're not allowed to bother me, you're not allowed to bother me, right? So I tend to lay in bed with my arms dangling on the side, over the side of the bed, right? And it was really annoying, and he was just kind of picking at me, and I'm like, you know what, I'm not dealing with you tonight, just get the hell out of my room, I'm done with you, right? I have never, ever had this happened. Never want it to happen to me again. Don't want to use barely ever talk about it. That SOB put his hand through the floor, wrapped his hand around my freaking forearm, and literally tried to pull me off the bed. It was the most physical contact I've ever had with anybody in my whole life. Scared the bejesus out of me.
Yeah.
Told my son, if he ever walked in my life again, I would kill him again. But literally from underneath my bed, he wrapped his hand around my forearm and tried to pull me out of my bed.
Did you still
and
sleep
I've
with him in the arm?
No, I do not. Never had physical contact. Never had physical contact with anybody I see until him.
That's scary stuff.
It was. And I still don't know why I was so angry, but he's never bothered me again.
Did you get mocked?
You sent him off.
Did you get touched by who?
Huh?
Did you see marks on your arm afterwards?
No, I didn't need to.
Well, it's not a question of need. I'm just curious about the manifestation because, you know, sometimes you get the scratch marks in it. And, okay.
Mm-mm. But
I got
also things. I hadn't slept for a few days. So I also go, okay, I hadn't slept for a few days. So maybe it's just this thing because I hadn't slept for a few days. So
has that ever happened before or since?
No.
Any other time you haven't slept?
Well, there's quite a few times I haven't slept and gone 3 days
right,
without
but
sleeping.
But I mean, it hasn't happened, you know, when you were tired then. I would assume that maybe that just made you a little bit more receptive to that in-between space. Not that it wasn't, not that it was like made up or exaggerated or anything. Just you were a little bit more receptive.
It was freaky geeky.
I got clogged the bleeding once because that was fun.
Oh my God.
It was,
no.
I was in the shower and there was this big head. I was like, you're not here for me. And because my mother got sent things all the time, the world hated her, loved her, but then, you know, there are always haters. And I always got her leftovers because I didn't live with her. And so she would like put these like protection things all around the place and forget that I existed. So they would bounce over there and be like, well, hey, your energy is similar to your mom's energy. So you must be, no, that's not mine. And I screamed, not because I was scared, but because it hurt. And Chris came running, and I was like, oh, my back is burning. And I had, like, somebody reach behind me from the front with their two hands, like fingernail marks down my back at an angle, and they were bleeding, four of them on both sides. And I was like, it's things. He's like, what the hell? And I'm like, hey, it's fine. She's gone. It's fine. And before I got done toweling off, they were gone. But he absolutely got them, freaked him the F out. And it burned like a biatch. It was not okay.
That's some scary stuff.
Well, you know, the first time I got accidentally touched, I was at that house in Puerto Rico at the Frenchman's quarters. And the older daughter was all excited because I could see them, and then we were leaving because we had to leave. And she's like, and she was calling to me to stop. And from the second story window to the front lawn where I was, she I heard you can't go, and grabbed my arm, my left upper arm, and spun me around. And I said, don't ever touch me, and be left, because I was like, fuck that. And I had a grip mark on my hand for like a week, on my arm for like a week. So,
hey, Hatter. Okay, so I'm going to have Hatter read because I know he's probably getting tired and he's got medicine to take and he has COVID and we don't want to keep him up any longer.
Oh, I hope you feel better, Hatter.
Yeah, me too. I am. I get better. Okay. The miracles through time and space. If I can read this. the magic that swirls around you, you fail to see or say. This miracle is forgotten and the tales you threw away. Remember the flowers that grow from a seed, or the acorn that has fallen from the majestic valley tree. Feel the rivers as they fall from upon the ground we walk. Listen for the wind to whisper every time we talk. Will the sun warm your hands for the coldest night? And the love you say, and the love you say you have come forth into the light. Miracles and magic have nowhere else to hide. You will never find them on your phone or anywhere inside. So take a moment of your time and tell me what you see. The miracles through time and space and how you came to be.
I have to say I really, really enjoy this poem. Miracles and magic have nowhere else to hide. You'll never find them on your phone or anywhere inside. I love that line. I think a lot of times we keep, in today's technology, we forget that there are people in front of us and we're looking for something outside of what we have in front of us. And will the sun warm your hands in the coldest night, and the love you say you have come forth into the light. There are too many people that forget what they have, and they keep going elsewhere and keep looking, and there is nothing there for them to have. There's nothing left, and yet they had everything. So through the miracles of time and space, of how you came to be, take a moment and tell me. I think this is just beautifully written, and it says so much. We are the miracles between time and space, each and every one of us. And my son has this thing that humans never die because we're energy, and you can never destroy energy. Energy is something that can never be destroyed. Energy just displaces into other energy. So when humans die, they never really die. It's just their energy is absorbed by someone else. So when you die, people that love you actually absorb part of your energy. So you always live in someone else. So from the beginning of time, your family absorbs your energy, and then that family absorbs that part of that energy. So we're always absorbing others' energy, which is why as a society, we actually have grown, and we love more, and we care more, and we have more patience than, say, 100 years ago, or 200 years ago, or even 50 years ago. You know, people think the world is in much dire straits. Between World War II and World War I, we are much better off because we keep absorbing more energy and we learn. That's my son's perspective. And so in 300 years, he thinks we'll all be more brilliant energy. So I kind of get that feel from this poem. Granted, that's my son's thing about energy, being absorbed by energy, but I got that feeling from that. I thought it was wonderful. Pretty Bird, your thoughts on that?
I think it's a beautiful notion. I think that the problem that we can't see all the miracles in front of us is because what's in front of us are screens that we get lost in trying to escape the reality of whatever situation we're in, not realizing the good over the bad, because it's so easy, just as human nature, to want to escape the darker things that happen instead of focusing on the lighter things that happen, because it's easier to run and hide, you know what I mean? So I love this. I love that it's all around us all the time. I love that when it's all mystics and miracles and all of these things, you went to nature and the simplicity of truth, and that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I mean, and I love how, you know, the miracle of, you know, of how you came to be, because you know what? All life, you're right, is an absolute miracle. I mean, it's perplexing how many billions of cells started from two cells, and they're all different, doing different things. It's like, you know, it's when you think about the truth of what makes us you know, able to be us, it's crazy. So I fully concur, and I think this is absolutely lovely.
Yeah, maybe we look too hard for the miracles. Maybe it's like the miniaturization of the technology. It's just the people in the past would look at it and go, it's a miracle. How did that happen? It's magic. When in fact, maybe the magic and miracle is the elements, the actual elements that they created, the little miniature piece that connected to this other piece, the transistors and the, you know, I mean, it's, you're looking too hard for miracles. We'll never see them.
Mac and Tori, your thoughts?
Speaking of someone that I'll never see, I like the idea because there are evidences of them. So, you know, the metaphorical version of that, I could totally relate to what you're trying to say or what you are saying. You know, and you're kind of saying it really well. I think it's something that people try and put in songs and things all the time about how they're touched and they see the miracle in a relationship or in a connection. Some people get bogged down in how did that happen or whatever, and don't appreciate, you know, that the fact that it did, and they totally miss the miracle that you're talking about. And that's what I'm getting in what you're talking about. Your perspective on it is what makes it for me, is because you're talking about it like, you know, I see it. Can't you see it? You know, you're kind of telling them that this is what I see. Don't you see? And that declaration, that observation, you know, whether it's a literal, you know, you could see it manifest or you could see it in the evidence of the end result of what happens around you, you know, but the point is, you know, it's there and, you know, open your eyes, you know, literally or metaphorically. It's beautiful.
Yeah, you know, it's has anybody ever known an arborist? A tree guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Watch the passion in their eyes when you get them around their element, the trees and growth and from seed, the mighty oak tree will grow, the willow tree. It's like if you don't hear that in their passion, I think that's where you need to start to find your miracles and the magic that's around us.
I think the roots of the banyan tree actually grow into a network, like neighboring trees, that their roots actually intertwine.
That's the aspen.
Oh, it's the aspen. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely the aspen. The aspens have root systems that actually intertwine and they become one organism.
Yeah, the banyan does it from the roots. From
the branches.
The branches, the vines.
They will latch onto each other and grow into each other.
Right.
It's really creepy, actually. It looks like the forest is melting.
The forest is melting. The forest is melting. No, this is the aspens do it, and they breathe somehow. Or as they call it, they breathe as one. But they're absolutely stunningly gorgeous. Yeah. All right. Rat. So we're talking about oddities in each other's lives. Like my mother's seen ghosts. My grandmother's seen ghosts. Pretty Bird has seen things. I've seen things. Potter has seen things. What oddities, miracles, mystics, mysteries have happened in to your family, to your life? What do you think?
I have a friend that has a story that I didn't witness, but it kind of stuck with me about an imp like jumping on his head and tugging on his hair, and people could actually see this happen as if, you know, he was being attacked by a spirit. I totally believe it happened to him, though, the way that they describe it and talk about it. So it's just one of those things. I'm aware that it's out there, but my personal encounters with the majority of it, I guess they tend to leave me alone.
Okay, well, we'll have to stop that.
Well, you know, the fact that I'm even walking around, to me, you know, I know they're watching me because I got no business being here. with what's going on in my life, I should be dead. I have no doubt.
Well, see, then you are the miracle.
Yeah. I mean, I was in like a major car accident and the only damage was below my waist. You know, the car was on fire and they had to pull me out and all this other fun stuff. I was in a coma for, I don't know, 10 days or something like that. And, you know, I survived. So, you know, they brought me into the ER and the surgeon, I was awake enough to hear the anesthesiologist say, I ain't putting him on my table. I don't want him dying on me.
So you are the miracle.
Yeah, definitely.
Been there, done that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I agree that, you know, the same way. I mean, somebody held my heart outside my body, and the machine kept me running. I just, you know, that freaks me out when I think about it. So,
tossed it around a little bit. Here, kid.
Yeah, like, hey, that mitten.
You were literally,
bing.
You were literally heartless for a little bit there.
Yeah,
you know,
I was
you know,
a heartless little thing for a while. Oh, that's not true.
I know.
You know.
It's been touched.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think we've all had those moments where, like, wow, this is life, and I'm lucky that I'm still here. So.
Yeah. You're not done. You're just not done.
It's just not done. So, Prebird, thank you. She is going to read Kay. Kay sent me something beautiful over.
And she is on the board. Her poem is called Lighting the Stains, Silhouettes the Marks Upon Flowers, by Kay. She is the memory keeper's daughter of nature, lover in kindness, mother upon protection, and being everyone's memory keeper. Her memory is long. Will others give the gift back in return as she looks on lovingly? Roots that branch to the earth are lettered in transports of wheat. Land of greenery twixt the shadows and mist and smog, rolling along the hillside, is her magic possessed, keen in the culling of mossing, trellising the buckle of emerald tidings of blood trace, the pickaxe rusting of the blade, fertilizing the grounds, littering the conifer of bereavement, miles outfields the forgetfulness of penance. Sunshine organically shades the strings that have turned to stone as this is required. Her throne of hearts innocent. Kneel at her altar. She is traveling the topiary principle of extension. And poem.
Wow. This is just stunning. Land of greenery twixt the shadows and mist and smog, rolling along the hillside is her magic possessed, keen in the culling of mossing, trusting the buckle of emerald tidings blood, trace the pickaxe rusting of blade. I love this. I mean, almost every line I could just say over and over again, miles outfield to the forgotten of tennis. But I love, like, the first stanza just, like, took me right in, the memory's keeper, daughter, and everyone's memory. Being everyone's memory keeper, her memory is long. Oh, wow. I mean, it's like healing and taking and making a stand and kneel at her altar. She is what keeps us alive or keeps us healed, and she is what is able to keep you going because she's taking it on. She's the innocence that is able to keep what we keep doing wrong. And I could be totally off, but this is what I'm reading into it. So that we're able to stand and do it. She's taking on, you know, the tidings of the blood trace, the pickaxe. I really love that. Again, I think this is beautiful and has a lot to say about how we take for granted what we're doing, and yet there's somebody there that takes it all for us, that there is somebody that has to absolve something, or somebody there that has to take penance, whether we know it or not. Pretty Bird, what do you think of this?
I think many things. This this line, roots that branch to the earth are littered in transports of wheat, is stunning, first of all. It reminds me of the tree in the movie Avatar, that kind of all-knowing, all-encompassing, all-healing entity, you know? And in the picture, it's like Mother Nature, the mother of all things, suffering so her children don't have to. And that whole tidings of blood, and the next line being fertilizing the grounds, littering the conifer of bereavement, between the wheat and the pain and the death, and how that helps it grow, and how she takes that in and it feeds her, so you don't have to suffer. You know what I mean? She remembers it all. She soaks it in, and she's stronger for it, and so she can continue to do that again, so the rest of us don't have to. And I find that to be quite beautiful.
That's so much more eloquently than I did.
and Robin, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this reminds me of I want to say the tradition the Indians had with the tribe elder, you know, the keeper of the history, that you know, the keeper of the memories, and that they collected the knowledge and disseminated it. But you know, I don't know. It just felt, it reminded me of that thought, the way that you know, that one person would you know, collect everything and kind of as she put it, you know, take it from you when it was painful, you know, just carry on the thought and keep on the tradition and the memories. I got that just the whole collection of wisdom kind of feel, and the I keep repeating keeper of memories, because that's the line that really stuck with me. But I know the poem was a lot more than just that. But you know, that was what I tend to focus on when it comes to something like that energy. You know, burying the roots in the ground, and that gives me the old, the age, and the longevity kind of feel. I don't know. I'm rambling, but I enjoyed it, Kay. I thought it was beautiful rhyme and lovely thought.
Excellent comment. All right. I am going to throw, I think, one of my own things up here, if I have one. Rack, did you bring us anything?
No, I didn't find anything specific.
All right, I am going to then, hold on, I'm doing 15 things at once today. I just got back from Wyoming, so I'm kind of scattered-brained a little bit too, so I apologize to you guys. I am not 100% where I need to be, so I really do apologize. All right, so I think I am going to throw up, not literally, but throw up one of my poems here in a second. But I wanted to talk about miracle and what people actually think a miracle is compared to the standard thought of a miracle, like wine, water into wine, and biblical sense of miracle. I think what we do scientifically medically now is a miracle compared to what they did 100 years ago. I don't know if you consider technology a miracle or not. Has technology changed things where you have artificial insemination and you have, you know, the things that literally, so I can run my heart on a machine while they fix my heart? Or if somebody came back 100 years ago and came back today, would you think that they thought we were doing miracles, or we were like witches and wizards and stuff like that? I mean, what do you think, Rack? You think we'd be miracle makers, or would we be
witches?
Like, should be burned? Yeah, I mean, literally burned at the stake.
Yeah, I'm with you on the fact that they'd be like, you know, she's a witch. You know, I mean, you know, let me just pop that heart out of that cavity for a few minutes and fiddle with it. Well, you just wait over there on the table while I make a few adjustments and before I stuff it back in. You know, that's like, you know, get out of here. Come on, you can't do that. And then there they are doing it. You know, it sounds like a work of fiction. It sounds like somebody's making some shit up, but, you know, it happens, you know, on a daily basis. Heart surgeons make a good living.
Surgeons, yeah,
they do,
brain surgeons.
You know,
I mean, you
think, what do you think, Chris?
What'd you say? There's lag, obviously.
I said,
so
what
I
do you think,
mean,
Pretty Bird?
Oh, well, I think,
what do you think,
that, that hundreds of years ago, when, you know, Mary Shelley wrote Frankenstein, and they were literally blowing cigarette smoke up people's bum holes so that they can breathe better, I think you would have been Frankenstein's monster, because how are you still alive? You know, in the land of galvanization being evil.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, Frankenstein was created with a defibrillator. You know? So if that was the thing that monsters are made of, you know, and it was made of you know, different pieces. I mean, you weren't even made of different pieces of a human, you know. you're made from a cow.
I read cow.
So I don't know. I think that they'd be afraid of you. I think you would be the most powerful person on the planet. Like, if you popped up in time travel hundreds of years ago with this big old scar and cow parts, okay? That's it. They would be bowing to your holiness. Are just definitely afraid and bowing out of fear, but they'd be bowing. I mean, it's such a
different. I think so too.
It's a different place. I mean, I love how the smartest people, all the doctors, all of these, you know, educated, intelligent people, used to do these horrific things, you know, in the name of science and trying to heal. You know, let me just drink this bottle of whiskey, and I'm going to hack that arm off because it's going to die anyway. And they had to learn to wash their hands before cutting people open because people would die. And it was a midwife who was the genius. Oh, y'all might want to wash your hands, you nasty. And so I think that, it, you know, is kind of a miracle that, you know, something as simple as washing your hands saves so many lives, you know? Like that, like, how do you figure that out? How do you notice? I mean, how do you link that together? And how does it take one of the lay people, one of the non, you know, doctor people to be the one to figure that out? You know? I'm perplexed and fascinated.
I got to tell you, Pretty Bird, there was a woman that got convicted of murder. She killed her husband or tried to kill him, and when he didn't die from her initial method, she literally had an infection in her hands, and she was responsible for changing his colostomy bag, and that's how she killed him, by not washing her hands. She got caught, but that's how she killed him. She had pictures of her infected hands and wrote it on Facebook that's how she was going to kill him. And, you know, well, thanks for the tip.
Wow.
So she's an idiot.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. She probably would have gotten away with that one. Nobody's done that.
Facebook ruins everything.
Cam and Facebook.
Here, I'll have the mystery whatchamacallit for you. Are you ready? Here it goes. I mean, I'm assuming you're ready because, you know. Okay, here it goes. I'm sorry. Okay, the faded story from last week. So that same person, when my anxiety kicks up, when I am having a time, like mentally a time, where I'm overwhelmed and whatnot, A always knows me, can always make me feel better. He's like, give me a minute, I got you. And I don't know what the heck is traversing 1,000 miles, but he's better than Xanax. So, you know.
Good.
There's that. Yeah. Like he'll know I have anxiety before it registers that I am not just running through my mind that's racing all the time when it finally hits it, because I don't always register it as anxiety if I don't have all of the anxiety at once. If it comes in stages, sometimes he'll know before me, and he's like, "You okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, why?" He's like, "Because you just kicked up," and he's like, "Yeah, always, you know, give me a minute, I got it." I'm like, all right, you do the damn thing, I'm good. And it should probably freak me out that somebody, and when he doesn't tell me, I can still tell because it's a different kind of calm. And maybe it should freak me out that somebody can be that connector, have that kind of effect that isn't anywhere near me, but it really doesn't because, you know, I grew up weird, so I'm good.
But shouldn't you have someone you're that connected?
I think we all have a spirit family wherein you meet people. All met people that either we hated before we met them, and you know, because in another life they were just our enemy and you don't know why you don't like them, but you know you never will. And conversely, we also have people that the second we meet them, it's like we've known them our whole lives. It could be friends, it doesn't matter who they are. We've had these experiences,
right.
But we'll come across people, and it's usually just a handful over a lifetime, that just are in there under your skin, that you just know that there isn't a whole lot of words that have to happen. You get each other. And those are the
right.
people that are part of your spirit family, that in every lifetime, if you believe in more than one lifetime, they will be connected to you in some way.
I don't disagree. I get that, because there are people that I understand that about. There are people that I'll have a two-minute conversation with, and I'm like, I just wasted the rest of my life with you. And then there are people I have a two-minute conversation with, and I'm like, oh, we're going to be friends forever. But, yeah. I totally get that.
It's funny, because I prefer the ones that I either bond with or can't stand, because it's all the new people
right.
that come across that we haven't known in some kind of way before that need to earn trust. You know, and that's where you know people suck. I'm just saying because
I know
everybody is fabulous.
Or
but,
the people
you know,
have to go in the green room for.
Yes. Yeah, some people can just stay there.
Yeah, just have to. There's nothing else you can do. Okay. I really should be able to do this, and I've gone like by 6 poems because I'm not really sure what I want to do. I'm really bad at this. So, Pretty Bird.
Yes.
Why don't you read your poem?
I can
Why don't
do
you
that.
Read your poem as I hunt and peck the one I think that should be me.
Okay. Well, that's not the right thing. Why is it that I can put everybody else's stuff everywhere, but when it comes to me, my brain is just like, huh?
Sounds like me. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's great. You can do that. And then I'm like, with me, I'm like, I ain't got anything good.
Okay, everything is good. You know.
That's because you have actual information cluttering up your brain and not the great expanse that the rest of us have that is, oh, it's right there.
Darn that intelligence.
Yeah, that's the word.
All right, so my poem is on the board, and it is called Golden Amber Mystic Truth. And it goes like this. The air burns at my will, unseen by the unenlightened, but felt across a universe that forgot that prophets hold power. Underestimated, I laugh as people reap what they forgot they've sown, a queen's aura in golden amber. You flow through the shadow of my pain and are blinded by the sun, and that's what you get for staring. I live in silence only to reflect your truth and melt your masks with a smile. Hate me if you must, but no, it is only yourself that could not hold your gaze. I am whole, filling the spaces in battered souls, healing, again in silence. I don't know mercy, and I don't cause pain. Never to be fooled by the malicious intentions of those whose tantrums I ricochet tenfold. The air burns at my will, healing in silence as you flow through the shadow of my path. And poem.
Sleepy.
Sorry, I'm on mute. Another try to give me your bullshit and I'll kick your ass poem by Pretty Bird.
Well, you know, trying to give you your bullshit and you'll kick your own ass. I don't have to do a damn thing.
Exactly. I love this. You know, I wrote a comment in this before I kind of really knew you. But even then I could see like, yeah. Because this was 2 years ago when you wrote this. And my comment basically was, another awesome right creeper burn themselves through karma, for she causes no pain. But I know you now. Like, I really know you. And I know how deep this is for you. So a comment 2 years ago, I got it. You know, this Pretty Bird, she doesn't like this. But this is like, the air burns at my will. Yeah, it does. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know mercy. I don't cause pain. Never be fooled by the malicious intentions of those whose tantrums I ricocheted tenfold. Yeah, you do. this is like so true to you, and so, you know, I love and melt your mask with a smile. Hate me if you must, but here's my smile. It's just from a pretty bird. And I just, you know, in my head, I see that smile coming off your gorgeous little lips and just looking at them like, go ahead, screw with me. But instead of screw, I have another word in my brain. But I'm just saying, I can see your beautiful self and that gorgeous smile of yours and those eyes that can set the world on fire, just shaking your head, hands on hips, like, go ahead, tell me again. Tell me what lie you want to lie, and I'm going to burn you up with this look, and I'm going to put my hands on my hips and walk away, and that is the last time you'll ever see me, because I ain't handling you anymore. And I can see it just right. The words, the actions, the attitude, the just literally burning them away. Just ashes wiping them off your hands. And this is just such a different home to me right now than it was 2 years ago, and I really, really see it, and I really like it. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. That's awesome. I want to be that person, by the way, because I sound amazing.
You are amazing. All right, Rack, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, you need to ask the people that you call people more about how they see you, because yeah. The amazing thing kind of, I mean, to me, this highlights your relationship with the truth. that's always been evident since I've known you. And, you know, I can't help but, you know, Sweepy mentioned, you know, the line about your smile. You know, I always hear, you know, when I smile, it's all teeth. So, you know, I envision that, you know, so
it's one of those things where this is just, you know, it's almost like, you know, what Sky would call a character write about you. You know, it very much feels like, you know, this is autobiographical. There's nothing, you know, it's a literary site. You know, we write fiction. Well, fiction is sometimes based on fact, and this feels way more fact than fiction to me. And even though you're talking about burning things and whatnot, it's like, well, it's burning bridges. And, you know, sometimes when someone is dishonest, that's what that does, is you burn that bridge and nobody can trust you again. And some people will actually cut you out of their life and not talk to you again, depending on the severity of what they're trying to feed you. So, you know, this to me is all about, you know, the communication or miscommunication of you know, a lie or a misrepresentation or a half-truth or, you know, even a lie of omission. You know, it all feels like it's in there.
It's funny how you mentioned my teeth, because I do have a very toothy grin. Seeing it, it's all my teeth all at once.
Anna. Well, you mentioned it. I just repeated it.
It's funny. It's funny. You know, you mentioned how you know, both you mentioned, you know, never to be seen again. And what's funny is I don't go anywhere. I'm never the one who leaves. I don't disappear. I'm always right here, always accessible. I'm always here. But people will do something that even if I don't know that they do it, and not ever be able to face me, and I don't. Then they run for the hills out of guilt, out of shame, out of whatever. I don't know what the heck. And I'm just like, well, all right then. You know what you did. You're fine. Because you know, girly does not chase.
Sweet pea, we know what we did.
I know what we did, but we had fun doing it, and nobody else has to know.
Fun.
And they weren't crimes against her flesh, the stars. So we're good. All right.
Oh, my goodness.
So I put mine up, and this is the mystery of me, the miracle I call myself. And this is about perception, about the way people want to see other people, and sometimes below the skin. I think that we all are kind of mysteries and mystics of ourselves. So this is perception.
Oh, I'm having a little doggy dilemma. I'm going to put myself on mute for a minute, so I'm going to miss your poem. I'll be back as soon as I can.
Well, then I won't read it.
Well, read somebody else then, and wait for me. But I got to take care of this. I'll be right back, though. Okay.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to read Hatter's other poem. This is Hatter's other poem, and that's the band that played for the very last time, A Ghost Story. All right. Let me see. The night the band played for the very last time, Mickey thought he'd lost his mind. Our drummer left to never return. This is what Mickey learned. The house was haunted by a feather ghost. The thing she did I loved the most. Slamming doors when there would be no wind. Locking doors so I couldn't get in. Touching hair and silent rubs. Freaking out all just because. Finding ice-cold beers at night. Well, Phil was next to feel the fright. RTD refused to see the ghost that played in the key of E. A story told in poetic rhyme. And the band that played for the very last time. And a poem. His notes are ghost-related, real events that broke the band that never was a month ago.
Oh, wow. A month ago.
The ghost that played in the key of E. I don't know, would you be afraid of a ghost that kept bringing you ice-cold beers? Touching hair and silent rubs.
She said the key of me or E?
E as in the alphabet.
Okay.
But the one stanza is touching hair and silent rubs, freaking out just because, finding ice cold beers at night, but Phil was next to feel the fright. I don't know too many guys that would get frightened by a ghost that's touching their hair and silent rubs and bringing them ice cold beers all night. I'm just wondering how much
how much beer it has. Yeah, you could say.
I don't know. I just really. I'm just wondering how much. Yeah, how much beer they had, or how frightening they would be.
Well, you know, it's like, you know, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. If he's bringing me a beer, okay. But then at the same time, it's like, wait a minute, I don't know if I want to drink this. Is this beer from your realm or mine? You know, am I going to join you if I drink it?
And how, where are you rubbing me? That's the other question I want to know. So, that's all very interesting to me. But as always, Hatter has perfect rhyme and all of those things, so.
No. That's a crazy encounter, to be sure.
I know. That's awesome.
I'm back.
All right. That was a crazy poem.
You inspire crazy things. I've got the one that I
wrote
you.
Fun story.
I miss all the stuff.
Well, if you read third stanza down, you can explain to me. I'm not sure why this guy gets frightened, because it's touching hair and silent rubs, freaking out just because, finding ice cold beers at night, the Phil was next to feel the fright. I'm trying to figure out why this guy was frightened if he's got a chick feeling him up and giving him cold beer all night.
He was flirting with him.
I guess he's afraid of women. Ghostly women. So that's where we're at, trying to figure out that mystery. If you have any thoughts on that, let me know, sweet pea. Hey, well, now I'm calling you sweet pea pretty good.
She can be kind of sweet.
She's very sweet. Where'd she go? Are you there?
I'm right here. I'm just reading.
Oh, okay. She's reading. Everybody's breakfast reading.
This ghost fondled and flayed them? Is that what this is?
I guess.
Well, you know, a little fun, a little feeding. Sounds like a night.
I know, doesn't it? I thought it was fun. I'm like, this is fun, Hatter. Yeah.
The band's name was The
Kid. Yeah. It was. All right. So, back to perceptions. This is my poem. This is Do You See Me?
It's not yours anymore. Okay. You get.
I did give it away, so. Do butterflies still flutter in stomachs that drip with acid rain? Can smiles meld with gunmetal, shine on burnt faces full of pain? Antifreeze dissolves teardrops and cherry cherub's cheeks, shield against chaffy in the shadows of self-defeat tree. Orbital reflections from a stranger's face create fairy tale kindness that crumbles with fate as the screams within the synapses crackle between the bridges of shame and disgrace. Extinguished fireballs desire no longer rains. Glaciers float in frozen veins. Ice crystals shred the bone, and often the sounds of a two-pronged saxophone. Both voice of an angel speaks in poetic tone. Ears listen to the devil's rhetoric in palindromes. Confusion spins on rusty subway turnstiles, and self-esteem vomits yellow vial. Eyes and mirrors stare back on repeat, believer a hope crushed by defeat. The cruelty of knowing the internal history tells no white lie and rots within the core, leaving no mystery, no misery. That leaving no mercy and home.
There you go.
This is why we're kindred with the no mercy. I mean, whether we're giving it or taking it, you know, it's kind of life is that way. This, so many layers of deep. Do butterflies still flutter in stomachs that drip with acid rain? They do. They may die a little faster, though. Can smiles melt with gunmetal shine on burnt faces full of pain? Yes, yes, they can. And there's something so beautiful about antifreeze dissolving teardrops, because antifreeze is sweet and, you know, sweet. And so it's kind of poetic, you know. I mean, it's a poem and all, but I'm just saying, you know, the nerve of it being poetic. And so.
Very few people get that line, by the way.
Really?
So very good. Yeah. They don't get that antifreeze is actually very sweet.
That's awesome.
That's so quite cool.
And so I This orbital, this is the dangerous part for me. You ready? Orbital reflections from a stranger's face create fairy tale kindness. And then, and you know, and when we are all in that acid rain and where everything feels like it's corroded, there's something like kindness, especially from outside, breeds hope. And then the next line is, you know, it crumbles with faith. As the screams, oh, you know what? I know the feeling. Me and Hope are not friends. It's fine. And this is just extinguished fireballs of desire no longer rain. And it is a hard place to be when a never-ending passion meets the icy shards that are breaking you from the inside. This is freaking fabulous. The voice of an angel speaks in poetic tone. Ears listen to the devil's rhetoric and palindromes. You know, and it's funny, because I take that to be the talking in circles, you know,
yeah.
Where it's the same thing backwards and forwards and upside down. You may think it's different, but I know it's the same, you know.
Same.
And I love this. This is tormented, you know. At the cruelty of knowing the internal history tells no white lies. You know, I have to say, and I say this 4,000 times, there's no such thing as a white lie. Lies. You know, I'm like, and I find the ones that are called white to be the worst of them all. Because if you're going to lie to me about something stupid, then there's no way you're not lying about something big, you know?
Amen to that.
So this speaks to me as most of your poems do on levels that permeate all the layers of my dermis. And so, Raconteur, what are your thoughts on you know, rotting cores and no mercy? And I said cores, not whores, just to be clear.
Yes. Well, just to be clear, I feel like I have to apologize to AP, because when she said devil's rhetoric and palindromes, I thought of him. So, you know, there was that. I can't help, you know, he's the first one that I ever heard do a poem in palindrome. So, you know, and then he does it, you know, so many times. It's like, you know, okay, go away from me. But the whole Ice Queen and you know, I love the antifreeze line too. That to me screams of murder, as well as, you know, the sweetness, but because of the sweetness of it, really, You know, one of the methods that people poison each other, apparently, because it's easy to hide in a drink. So yeah, there's that. The false kindness and the hurt. It resonates to the point that, you know, because you care about one, when you care about someone, you hate to see them in that kind of situation. So it hurts. So, you know, I read you one and I want to like just give you a hug.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. And now, because this is the kind of show. Yes, I'm going to read something completely different. It is this kind of show. And we cannot have this kind of show without this kind of poem. And I expect each of you, Pretty Bird, to come up with one.
What kind of poem?
This kind of poem. Girl on the Wall.
I love this poem. Go ahead. I'm sorry. This is just fabulous.
In my dream, I am awakened by the smell of her death, weaved into the wind as it whistles through the window in my room. My heartbeat quickens, wet beads form on my skin. I cannot run, or she will follow me into the closet or under my bed. Her eyes are vacant, cold and lost, her body twisted, her voice dark. The sound of a thousand dying birds scream as her fingers run down my wall. What have I done to deserve such a fate? As she creeps closer to my face and smiles, the words she says makes me cringe. She giggles out loud. I love you, sister. Out the window and over the wall she climbs. Until I sleep again tomorrow night. I have no sisters, my belief. Then it was revealed to me I had a twin. I ate her in the womb, took her soul as a babe, never let her live out her days. So she comes, haunts my dreams. Come to me, girl on the wall. Hold my hand as these pills release me from my sins. And we can be sisters forever again. End poem.
And it's why they call you the queen of darkness. I am just saying, I mean, you did not kill children, but, well, I suppose if we look into the future of this poem, you know. But I love this, and the way you read it is just sublime. You know, this whole, the sweat, that she follows me, she smells like death, she whispers, all of this stuff that is there, and it's some scary stuff. It is scary stuff. And when you find out that it is real stuff, I mean, that is even scarier stuff. And it makes me wonder at the end of this, you know, is it the girl on the wall or the girl in this realm that is, you know, taunting with the pills? You know what I mean? Like, well, if I can't live, you can't live. Or since I killed you, I'll die too. You know what I mean? It's there, and death is upon us, which I freaking love, by the way. You know, even though you did kill 1,000 birds, but whatever. And so, Rack and Tor, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I love that you based this on, a medical, an actual medical thing that happens with the babies and then when they're twins and one, you know, kind of eats the other one. That's really a thing. So, you know, you kind of came up with your own explanation for the aftermath of what happens when that happens. And, you know, and you know, like Pretty Bird said, that adds to the depths of this, you know, that string that you can weave through the whole story and tie it back to something. It's like, well, that's why there's a face on the wall, or, you know, a voice, you know, you're tied to it because, you know, you're responsible for it not being there. So, that idea is creepy and lovely at the same time, especially the way that you read it, because, you know, you get like a hit in your voice, like a thrill, like, you know, I know what I'm doing. and you do it in a way that, you know, other people don't know what you're doing and realize what you're doing until you already did it and you're walking out the door and they're like, wait a minute, did you just do that? And that's what's beautiful about the way you do these things.
Thank you, Rack, very much. Oh, my goodness. So, yes, I do love that little ditty. So, I do have a couple of poems left on my list. But I want to make sure that Pretty Bird gets in some craziness. I have one by Heavenly Angel that I will read, and then Pre-Bird, I have Deb's if you would like to read hers, and then I want you to read one of your crazy ghost story fun ones.
I'm looking. Oh yes, I'm happy to read Deb, but I'm just looking for something for that's creepy.
Alright, so while you look, I'm going to read Heavenly Angel.
Out loud?
All right. Yes, I had to put it on the board. Out loud? No, to myself, thank you very much. I'm sending it out mentally to the world. Everyone feel my power.
It's that kind of night.
It is that kind of night, isn't it? However, I am not that kind of person. I want to go through time with you. You are a breath of fresh lilac and a linen scented air. I inhale to hold and the view that takes my breath away every time. Never before did I know how loving someone could be. Now I can see you and me for a lifetime. If I could save time in a bottle, the first thing I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you. I'm totally immersed in you have baptized my soul in the beauty of your being within your aura's realm, I believe. I looked around enough to know that you're the one I want to go through time with. The moments are engraved, yes, framed, in solid ink on my heart until the day we'll be riding into eternity together. End poem. That's a beautiful rendition or look at the song, If I Could Save Time in a Bottle. First off, I like that song, and I think you did a really great, you know, character, inside look, just a feeling. You put like an essence on it of how to talk to someone, yet not making the song. You kind of made it yours, and I love fresh lilac and linen-scented air. I inhale to hold. I really, really love that line. I just like the way it smells. I can inhale it and feel it, and the sense of smell always is so powerful, and I think you did such a great job with that. It's like I can almost feel myself, like, wrapped in like a warm towel at a beach or something, just inhaling the scent of that and feeling perfectly content. So way to write that out there, Angel. I really enjoyed that. Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
I have that earworm now. But, you know, I'm not mad at her. I love that song. But it was lovely. She has this kind of romantic lilt to so many pieces that she writes, this one included. You know, these moments are engraved, yet framed in solid ink on my heart until the day we'll be riding into eternity together. That sounds like the end of a romance novel that I kind of want to read.
As and much as you hate love. Oh, man. You know, I always get the feeling when she does that, like you know, I want someone to write to me like this. You know, it's just one of those things. She captures a moment and her connection to the emotion behind it. You can feel like, you know, if this is what it's like to be with this person, then I want to be with them. And, you know, it kind of leaves you walking away jealous. But, you know, as far as, you know, the nod to the song and everything, that was beautiful, too. The essence of that song, you know, that everyone, I think, loves, you know, and the title and the following lyric about, you know, save every day till eternity passes away just to spend them with you. That's like, you know, a amazing notion that, you know, is so relatable to anyone that cares about somebody. It's like, you know, I want that. So, you know, I guess, you know, you call it romance, you call it jealousy too, I think, in a lot of ways, because, you know, relationships and people that aren't in them that see things like that are just, I don't know, it's a beautiful thought. And, yeah, I loved it.
Awesome. Okay, Pretty Bird, you're up.
Okay, you want rhyme or no rhyme?
With you. I don't care.
Well, pick.
No rhyme.
No rhyme.
All right.
Free verse.
Oh, that was funny. Okay, this is excerpts from a bad dream, and I haven't read it in, I don't know, 3 years, so we'll see how it goes. My little slidey bar has left the side of my screen, and so my scrolling weird, so sorry about that. Okay, excerpts from a bad dream. My eyes open. I'm tied to the bed. Blurred bodies make sounds I cannot decipher. I can't move, but manage to hear myself breathe. Please, before I lose consciousness again. My eyes open. I'm tied to the bed. Wait. Yeah, okay. Blurred bodies. I'm sorry. I'm tied to the bed. Blurred bodies. Still make. Jeez Louise. I'm going to start over because I cannot read. Excerpts from a bad dream. Okay. My eyes open. I'm tied to the bed. Blurred bodies make sounds I cannot decipher. I can't move but manage to hear myself breathe. Please. Before I lose consciousness again. My eyes open. I'm tied to the bed. Blurred bodies make sounds that are still unfamiliar. My head hurts as I smell my dentist's office and the drilling of bone. Blinking through the fog, I see a body where mine should be, but it lies open. No blood, just organs being counted like stockroom inventory by people that don't seem much like people. I can't remember my mom. What's my name? I see the pony I fell off of when I was 6. I know I love someone. What is your name? My eyes open. I'm tied to the bed. This dream sucks. No words. Blurred bodies watch me, silent. The steel table beside me holds jars of organs like an autopsy. I can't move my head. I can't pinpoint the pain, but it hurts. The room is too clean and their eyes are too big. Maybe they're too tall. I can't see. It's too quiet. That body is empty. What is? My eyes open. The bed is gone and I don't hurt.
the air feels funny and tastes like plastic or like burning plastic smells. Everything distorted and far away. Can't move my neck. I wiggle my parts and they seem fine, effortless, but they don't feel like anything. There's a wall of shelving across the room, jars, so many jars. There's a TV with a soft glow. They walk into the room and look at me. I beg them to tell me what's going on. I can hear them, but can't hear my voice. The screen lights words that scroll backwards in English with symbols beneath. It's scrolling my words. The screen shows a floating head with a transparent skull. That brain is an angry pink. I look closer. I notice their backs as they face me. My eyes open. I see the screen scrolling backwards. My name is... End poem.
Oh, that is fabulous. That's the game of chill. Oh, my God. I notice their backs. As they face me. Oh. Oh, that's great. I can't remember my mom. What's my name? I see the pony I fell off when I was 6. I know I love someone. What is your name? This dream sucks. No words. Words, body, watch me silent. I love this story. I love, because I hate dreams where you can't move. You're in a room, you're tied down, something's going on, you don't know, you know, what's going on, everything's crazy. This is, like, written so perfectly. And I love it's experts from bad dream, because I want to know the rest of the bad dream. Have you written any more? Because it's just one. Where's the rest of them? This is brilliant. It really is brilliant. Bravo, bravo, bravo. There's so much detail in here, and there's so much feeling. It's like you can almost hear, like, gee, is the room cold? Of course it's cold. It's got to be cold. Can she see your breath? Of course she can see her breath. I've got so many other details running in me, like I can feel you in this room. So I'm, like, plugging things in this story. What's she wearing? Is she wearing a nightgown? Is she wearing clothes? What does she have a dress on? Is her hair pulled up? Is it pulled down? What are they doing to her? Why are they doing this? What's really in the jars that holds jars of organs? Like are any of her, are they her organs? No, they can't be her organs because she's actually conscious, but she doesn't know her name. Why can't she? I have, like, I'm so wrapped up in this and it's insane as I'm going through this. I wiggle my parts and they seem fine, effortless. Okay, good. But she doesn't feel anything. How she can wiggle parts but doesn't feel anything? Has he touched part of her brain? Is that her pink brain she's looking at? How does she know the brain is angry? It's a floating head with a transparent skull. Is that her skull that's floating on the screen? Can she just see? Is it an X-ray of her skull? Is it an MRI of her skull? What is she looking at? But she notices their backs as they face me. How is she noticing the back? Is there a mirror? Is it coming off the TV? I'm really bad at stories because I go into multiple questions immediately, but I really, really like this. Back and forth, you have thoughts now that I've gone off the rails.
Well, not so much because, you know, for all your multiple questions, I usually, when I encounter things like multiple questions, I come up with multiple answers on my own, you know, not necessarily what the author meant, but, you know, to make it to my enjoyment. So, you know. This is great. Excerpts from I like that you call it, you know, excerpts from a bad dream, because just to start off with, not necessarily a bad dream, but, you know, it just makes me think of, you know, sometimes you have a dream and you're like, you know, I want to pick up where I left off when I go back to sleep again, not necessarily this kind of dream, but, you know, it reminds me of that, you know, because you've had dreams that, like, you know, I want to, you know, hit the resume button, you know, see if I can get back to that point and continue, you know, what was going on. I want to find out what happened. But, you know, this one, you kind of you tell us what happens in literally in bits and pieces or in excerpts. You know, again, clever. I got the feel of, you know, alien autopsy and every bit of your body speaking at the same time. You know, even it's connected, but, you know, not physically. So, you know, the eyes are in the jar and they're watching from the shelf. So that's why you could see their backs over their shoulders and, you know, watch what's going on, and then you try and talk, but you can't hear the voice. But it's coming out on the screen because they got your brain wired up to whatever, and you know, the English is coming out with their language underneath. So, you know, all these little bits and details that you know, picking up or making up, depending on what you intended when you wrote it, just play beautifully.
Thank you. I tend to not go that route, you know. I don't do, like, you know, body parts often.
By the pound.
Mm-hmm.
What is it, 22 grams or something like that? What's
23
that
grams.
Thank you.
Oh, it's 21 grams, I think, is actually what it is. And 1 gram.
Yeah, which is another one of your poems.
It is.
Yes,
that's the weight of the soul.
I'm plugging Pretty Bird's poetry.
You remember things that I don't. I'm horrible with my own titles. It's not okay.
You're not entitled.
Oh, that's funny. So did you want me to read Deb now?
Yes, please.
Okay, well, she is up on the board. And this is What Can Stop You From Opening a Door by Deborah Lee. Standing at the doorway in the vestibule, 5 fingertips reach for the doorknob to walk out to the car, then drive to the grocery store. Air shifts in the silence of darkness, and all the little body hairs grow stiff, pointing up in lines as they rise, igniting chill bump parades on flesh. Jawbones drop, the chin is lips motion, but no voice ushers out. Then from weightlifting shoulder boulders, few feet in stone shoes lock in place, seizing the footsteps. Cracking noises fill the air, then snap. The giant redwood tree falls, smashing the driver's side of the car, shattering the window glass that spread sharp shards on the lawn and crushing the roof onto my leather bucket seat, but not squashing me to death. And poem.
Well, there you go. That would keep me inside or outside or making sure that I keep the door open. Not squashing me to death. I mean, I'm fascinated by the title. I like all air shifts in the silence of darkness and little body hair grows stiff, pointing up in lines as they rise, igniting chill bump parades on flesh. I like that line, igniting chill bumps on parade. The giant redwood tree falls, smashing the driver's side of the car, shattering the window glass that spread sharp shadows on the lawn, crushing the roof onto my leather bucket seats, but not squashing me to death. You know what's really weird about this poem is that actually happened with my son and my husband not 3 weeks ago. They were driving right under a tree. Or they drove right under the tree. This big old tree just fell right behind them, right onto the road. It just freaks me out that she just wrote a poem about it. No rhyme or reason. This big old freaking tree you've been sitting in front of this house for 100 years just fell over.
But you can't say no rhyme.
Wasn't snowing. Okay, no reason. He just picked himself up and fell over. Nobody knows why. He's just old. Decided to stop living. Over.
Arborside.
Arborside. I don't know. And then she writes a poem about this one. That is freaky to me. It took me back a minute. Wow. That's insane. Wow. Wow. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm Pretty Bird, what did you think of the poem?
You know, there's something to be said about, you know, understanding those little tiny intuitions that often feel like new nuisances that get in the way of you getting shit done. So to listen to the hair standing up and the goosebumps, and every time you reach the door something doesn't feel right, and to take that pause to trust that intuition, even if you don't know why, says a lot, because I have trouble with discernment, so that says a lot, because those little pauses, you know, if it were not for that, you know, she would have been in that car with that tree squashing the driver's seat. So that is very, A, fortunate, B, would scare the crap out of me. You know, it's one of those things where I would have been going on, I almost died when I was like in the house and it wasn't, but I almost died, or I could have died, but it would have been like, I almost died, because that's what that would feel like. And, but then all my people would be like, you were in the house, shut up. Because that's what I surround myself with. And, I am just extremely impressed with you know, taking that pause when things don't feel right, because it's so easy to overlook, and you know, it's there for a reason. So it's, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'd be like, holy crap, if I had been outside 2 seconds ago, I'd be dead. I wouldn't be here. I'd be dead. And my people would be like, but you weren't. It didn't happen to you. It happened to your car. But I could have been in the car. No, you weren't in the car. Shut up. But yeah, this is crazy. It's a great poem, but it's crazy. All right. Pretty Bird or Rack, you have anything coming up?
Yes. First, tomorrow, Crystal has a show. And if my computer will open it up, I will tell you what time it is. Or not. Oh, it starts at 11 o'clock. And she has a link to one of her favorite artists. So there are pictures to choose from that you can use for inspiration. And take a look at the topic and write for those lovely pictures. They're actually quite beautiful. And then Thursday at 10, it is What the Flock, and the topic is Forget You. And, you know, and I say it that way, but it's all about forgiving, and is it really forgiving if you can't forget? And nothing. Why would you forget how you were hurt when that's what keeps you from getting hurt again? But then how do you move on if you can't forget, but you can forgive? But again, is it really forgiveness if you can't forget? So it's that, because I am that girl. So it'll be interesting conversation, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And then we have on the ninth, on Friday night, we actually have a very special once a month guest, which is Liquid Damage. And she's always fun. So that's Friday night special.
Yes, and that she is open poetry, yes.
Yes, I believe so. And then a revisit now that Hatterers might be feeling a little better. I believe the Keys is going to be coming back. So the key prompt is there. And then we switch around right back to Monday with the picture prompt Monday with Deb.
And unfortunately, next week I will not be here. I have some time that I will be away in Wyoming for a little bit. But I will be here the following week, right back at it. And we will be doing a Stephen King quote. And that quote will be, no one can tell you what goes on in between the person you were and the person you will become. No one can chart that blue and lonely lonely section of hell. There are no maps of the change. You just come out the other side or you don't. We will be writing that quote, however it manages to hit you. Other than that, I want to say thank you to everybody that was here tonight. Hatter, thank you. Raconteur, thank you. AP, thank you. And especially Pretty Bird, who keeps me in line, makes me do everything in a better, more beautiful way. Otherwise, I'd be flapping all over this studio, not knowing what to do or how to do it. And then,
that is
of
my
course,
job.
But you still look good doing it. There's that.
Yeah, something like that. And of course,
I do nothing. It is
always
fabulous.
And Kay for her beautiful poem. And Deb for her wonderful poem. And everybody else, of course, for their poems. Pretty Bird, Hatter, Rack, for all of your intellectual, beautiful comments tonight. You guys rock my world. I couldn't do this without you. So for all my Blog Talk listeners, my all poetry listeners, I bid you good night. Beware of the mysteries and miracles, mayhaps and perhapses. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.